Power to Witness. Last week we gave the introduction, went over chapter number one, gave you the background, gave you the setting that's there. And now today we're going to kind of dissect this verse a little bit more and talk about a few things here. So Acts 1:8, let's say the reference, and then we'll quote the verse and the reference. Here we go. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. Father, thank you once again for the privilege that you've given us to be in your house, Lord, and to share the greatest news that ever has been given. Jesus Christ came to save men, women, boys, and girls. Our job is just to be faithful, to be a witness, to give out the gospel. Lord, I pray that as we go forth today, we'll be able to give out tracts here and there and everywhere we get the opportunity, that you, through all things, would receive all praise, honor, and glory. We might see more people come to know Christ as Savior. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. By the way, we're talking about power to witness, and we'll talk about this first one, the power you receive, here in just a minute. But Romans 1 is the power you receive. Go ahead and write that down, the power you receive. And I'll give you a couple things here to think about. The power you receive. Amen. Because what we want to know is how can I witness more effectively? By the way, are we witnesses whether or not we talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you are. If I don't tell anybody about Christ, the object is then I'm not an effective witness. Why am I not an effective witness if I don't tell anybody about Christ? Anybody know? Why would I not be an effective witness if I don't tell Jerry?
Because you're not doing anything.
Not doing anything. Okay. I just saw a car accident. This man ran over somebody in the street. They called me to the witness stand. Yep. They say, okay, Mr. Dawson, tell us what you saw. Well, Mrs. Dawson, did you see anything? Mr. Dawson, tell us what you know. What kind of witness am I? Unproductive one, silent one, a non-effective one. Why? I didn't tell anybody what I saw. Am I any good for the people that called me to be a witness? No. Are we any good for the cause of Christ if we're not telling what we saw? No, we're really not being effective. Will anybody know that we're Christian? No, you say, well, I dress like a Christian. So do non-Christians.
Yeah, they do, Pastor.
I talk like a Christian. So do non-Christians.
Yes.
They say, have a blessed day. They say, God bless you. When you sneeze, they say, God bless you, or bless you.
Bless
you. So what's that got to do anything?
Yeah.
They do the same thing.
Right,
but Christians have the power to tell people about Jesus Christ, how they've been born again, how they got saved, how they were lost, but now they're found. That's the difference. So whether or not we tell anybody at all, we're still a witness. It's just that we're either an effective witness or a non-effective witness. A non-effective witness that doesn't open his mouth does the world no good. But I live right. Okay, since when did anybody get saved by lifestyle evangelism? How do people get saved? By hearing the gospel. What did Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God to everyone that believeth. To who? The Jew first and also to the Greek. So it is the power of God. I've got to give people the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Normally when I'm out soul winning, and if I give a tract to someone, and you know they may or may not come to church, I'll say, you know what? If you never come to my church a day in your life, let me show you what's the most important thing. And I'll go right in here and I say, you need to know what it takes to get you to heaven. I said, my church will not get you to heaven. I said, but you need to know that everybody has sinned against God and there's a penalty for your sin. And Jesus paid for your sin, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and you can have forgiveness of sin. I'll say, look, if you never come to my church, I said, I want you to know that. And that'll be one of the best things that they can do, even if they don't go to church. By the way, there will be people in heaven that never came to this church. Do you know that? just because somebody gave them a tract and they read the gospel. Amen. But when people do get the gospel, they will come to church to try to find out what it is that they have. Amen. So, by the way, give you three quick things here before we get into our lesson here. What is the one of the easiest ways to witness for you? I'm talking about opening your mouth. What is the easiest way to witness? Amen. So, in other words, the easiest way to witness somebody's conversation.
Yep.
Get them in the conversation. We were out door knocking yesterday and knocked on this one door, and the guy came out, and we chit-chatted a little bit. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what brought you to Tucson? He said, well, I'm from Chicago. I said, what? You're from where? He said, I'm from Chicago. I said, I'm from Joliet. He said, we're neighbors, and we shook hands. I said, are you a Bear fan? He said, I'm a Bear fan, a Bull fan, I'm a Cub fan. I said, amen. And we got to, talking, and I said, wow. And guess what that did? It softened him up, brought his defenses down. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, I sure do. I got saved. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I said, hallelujah, praise God. It goes to another church on the other side of town, but it was just amazing how conversation opened the door, and we found out we had something in common. And he said, boy, I don't want to go back to that Chicago weather. I thought, neither do I. Amen. So conversation is one of the easiest ways. I told you about the first day that I got saved. I called up my parents and got into a conversation. The next day I went back to work. I got into a conversation.
Yes, sir.
So that is the easiest way. What is the hardest way to witness normally? The hardest way. Well, you will have to bring it up, but this is the toughest way. You got to get courage to talk to somebody that you don't know. Courage to talk to somebody that you don't know. In other words, just go up to a stranger and say, hey, can I talk to you? That's the toughest way, because you know nothing about them. They know nothing about you. That's what makes door knocking such a challenge for some people. They look at that and they say, I've got to go and knock on doors of people I don't know. And I've got to share Christ with them, whom they may not want to hear about. And oftentimes finding that courage is the toughest part about door knocking. Amen. Conversation is easy. You talk to somebody, you get in a conversation, and you just find a way to slip it in. But that is tough. But I'm glad to tell you that you don't have to do it in and of yourself. Amen. Notice Acts 1:8 once again. Notice what it says down there. But ye shall receive what?
Power.
When am I going to receive it? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And when you get that Holy Ghost power, what are you going to be? Ye shall be what?
Witnesses.
So you don't have to do the work. What do you have to give? What is that?
Time.
And give yourself. And open your mouth. And let come out the gospel message. Amen. By the way, as you get into conversation, the easiest way to witness is be kind, be cordial, try to find things that this person knows about. Normally, I'll look at things around their house, comment on their flowers, comment on something. That normally, they'll have kid things outside. Hey, you got children. How many children do you have? I've got three. I've got this. I've got that. Find a commonality and begin to talk to them. So when you look at this, the Spirit of God gives us what we need. Last week, we talked about some incredible things that normally happen in your life that you tell people about. We talked about going shopping, blue light sales, things like that. Things that are good to us or exciting to us, we tell others about. Amen. So let's go to fill in some blanks here. We've got down there, power you receive. Amen. By the way, did we have this power before we got saved? No, we did not. Amen. We did not. So to be an effective witness, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. By the way, as we go down through this lesson, we're going to be talking about the type of power that is here. Notice something here. In the New Testament, there are two Greek words for power. In verse 7 of our text, notice that, it says, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the reasons which the Father hath put in his own," what? Power. That word power there means authority, meaning God has the authority. Okay? So he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath in his own power or his own authority. But then we come down to verse number 8. And the word for power here is dunamis, which we get the word dynamite from. But ye shall receive what?
Power.
Power or dunamis or dynamite. So in other words, verse 7 could read like this. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But ye shall receive dynamite.
Like it.
Amen.
Like it,
dunamis, dynamite.
Ooh, I like it.
Now, by the way, when we think about dynamite, what normally comes to mind? Explosion. Explosion. Can there any good thing come out of an explosion? How was that? Amen. It depends on what I'm exploding. By the way, to get up to Mount Lemmon, they had to blast and dig to put a road up there. Going back east, many mountainous states, guess what they had to do? Blast through the hills to get a road there.
Yeah.
Amen. Or you'll wind around for days on end. But normally they blast and they cut that stuff away. Amen. So dynamite can be good for something. Does it cause an explosion? Oftentimes it does. Amen. Go over to 2 Timothy here. I think that's in your book there, 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Paul here having to encourage his young protege in regards to his timidity. Hey, there you go. Timothy was timid, had timidity. And 2 Timothy 1:7. And Brother Scott, you got that one there? Read 2 Timothy 1:7. Amen. So the word there again is dunamis there or dynamite. Amen. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, dynamite, and of love and of a sound mind. You think, how does dynamite go along with love and a sound mind? They sound like destruction along with stability. And it sound like a contradiction there. Amen. But when you look at this, dynamite is normally destructiveness, amen. But here, the power can give us the calmness that we need. The calmness. Have you ever seen someone going through a difficult time and they're kind of hysterical and they're all like this? But then somebody that has power under control can come and calm that person down. They've got the authority. They've got the power, they've got the dunamis or the dynamite to control the person down. And so it's not always destructive, it can be calming or encouraging as well. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, God's not given us the spirit of fear to be on edge, Timothy, but of power, dunamis, and of love and of a sound mind. Not destructive violence, but a calming to calm the storm. By the way, when Jesus was with the disciples in the boat and they were fearful of the storm, what did Jesus say? He did say, "Ye have little faith." But what did he say to the storm? Peace.
Peace.
Be still. What did that take to calm the storm?
Power.
He said, "Peace, be still." And all the waves and all the wind, it said it ceased. And there was a calm. What did it take? Power. So when you look at this, it's not just destruction, amen, that the verse is talking about. They've got another verse listed here, and it's used differently. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this time. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And Ms. Duffy, read verse number 15. Amen. The same word dunamis is used in this passage, but notice how it's used. And that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. The same word dunamis is translated able here, which means it's an enablement. So in other words, the power or the dunamis is an enablement. By the way, that's why you and I can't witness on our own. Your words will never get someone saved. It is only the word of God that will get someone saved. So the same word translated to power, dunamis, here is able, meaning ablement. So over here you could say down there, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able or powerful to make thee wise unto salvation. It's an ablement that's here. Amen. So when you look at Acts 1:7, it's authority. Acts 1:8, it's a power or an enablement that allows us to do what God would have us to do. By the way, would Jesus Christ send us out to do something we couldn't do?
No, he would not.
If that were true, that means he's setting us up for failure.
Right. Yes,
so if he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, what do we know we can do?
Witnesses.
In other words, we have the enablement. We have the power. We have the ability. Okay. So let's fill out A here. A, he enables us with favor. These are different ways that God's going to give us to be able to witness. He enables us with favor. All of us work with people that we have favor with. All of us go to school with people that we have favor with. All of us live around people that we have favor with. All of us go to the stores or whatever, and we see certain people all the time that we have favor with.
Amen.
Guess what? That's the first line of people that you can witness to.
Yes, sir.
But why can I witness to them? Because I have what? Favor with them. They like me. I like them.
Amen.
Is it hard to witness to an enemy?
Yep.
Yes. But someone that you have favor with, it's easier to witness to them. Why? You have favor with them, amen? And so we have opportunities to witness to other people because we've gained favor with them, whether it's neighbors. Now, how can I gain favor with a neighbor? Being kind or helpful. Brother Tony is not a neighbor of the Duffys, but he went down to help them change a tire. Maybe you've got a neighbor that has a tire. We had one of our neighbors came by and they said, you know, this is going to seem odd, but I need a can opener. Can I use a can opener? And we said, sure. Come to find out, they were moving and they had packed up everything and they packed the can opener and they were about to have something in a can. So guess what you don't have when you have a can? A can opener. Amen. And so we used the opportunity just to say, hey, here we go. I was at one of Gregory's basketball games the other day, and we've got a new neighbor that moved in over down the road a little bit, and I haven't met them yet, but my wife did. And the gal came by, and she stood right in my face. She said, hi. And I'm looking like,
oh, man.
Hi. She said, you don't recognize me? I said, no. And she looked at, she said, don't you live at such and such? Yes. I'm your neighbor. Oh. I met your wife. Oh. My son plays with your son. Oh. She said, what street, what's your address? I went blank. I said, what is my address? I was having someone this close up in your face. I drew a blank. I'm thinking, where do I live? Faith, where do we live, Faith? I drew a total blank. She was up in my face. You don't know me. I'm thinking, I've not seen you at all. But she knew me.
Yes, sir.
She knew me. And, you know, Gregory, the one of the boys plays on the team. She said, now my kids can come play with your kids. I've introduced myself. Amen. What happened? My wife evidently had favor with her, and so she had favor with me. Amen. And I'm just sitting there baffled. I'm thinking, this is odd to have someone in your face that you don't know and so friendly with you. Amen. And so when you look at this, a neighbor doing things for a neighbor, mowing a lawn. Hey, you might have a senior citizen that needs help getting groceries in. Oftentimes we'll come home and I'll have see someone. I say, Gregory, Joshua, go help the lady over there, the senior lady with this, that, or the other, you know. Or hey, go over there and see if they need any help with this, that, or the other. I remember one day Mrs. Dawson was had one of her heart tremors, and we had to call 911. And the ambulance came there, and then the neighbor next door to us came out and said, hey, look, you know, I know your wife's gone to the emergency room. Do you need anything? Just watch kids, blah, 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 blah. Just favor. Favor. And so when you look at this, he enables us with favor. When God gives us favor, why is he giving us favor with another person? Giving us an opportunity. We have what they don't have. Jesus. And so he puts us into favor with certain people that gives us an enablement or the power to be a witness to them. Whether it's a boss or whether it's a neighbor, he has placed this individual in our lives and giving us favor with them so that we can impact their life for the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can get saved. It's not a chance that God put people in our lives. He said, oh, man, it's just a chance that my wife works with Rod Branch. That wasn't a chance. He was the guy that witnessed to my wife who came and witnessed to me, who subsequently I got saved. By the way, the guy that led me to the Lord, many of you know, heard me talk about him, Brother Dunn. He may be coming here in December. And if he comes here, you guys get a chance to meet the guy that led me to the Lord, the one that I took 2.5 hours with to get saved. The one I told you was frustrated because he had a roast that was probably in the crock pot that day. And I had 1,001 questions, and he will be here in December, Lord willing. He called me up and said that they're going to probably try to come here just for a short visit. He's got a business trip out here. And you guys get a chance to meet him. What happened? Favor. So notice down here, let's read several verses that they have here because all these people were in favor. By the way, teenagers can be in favor with other teenagers as they play sports with them. You may make someone laugh and have favor with them. Amen. You may poke fun at someone and have favor with them. Every Green Bay Packer fan that I see, I normally poke fun at them. I say, hey, Packer fan. Hey, we're friends. They say, we are? Yeah, I'm a Bear fan. You know, I just do stuff like that. You know, and they start laughing, you know, we have a good time going back and forth and just stuff like that. And but what happens here? You get that favor using something that's familiar to give them the gospel. Amen. So let's look at a couple verses here. Genesis 39:21. Let's go over there. Genesis 39:21. Why does God give us favor? So that we can be a witness. Genesis 39:21. Who's got Genesis 39:21? Jeff, go ahead and read that.
But the Lord with Joseph and showed him the mercy and gave him favor in the sight that keeping of the prison.
Amen. Notice that. God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. What was Joseph ultimately able to tell him about that favor? Hey, I'm here because of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm here because of God. And he was ultimately able to give that witness and that testimony. I'm here because of God. And notice in verse 23 what it says down there. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because what? The Lord was with him, and that which he did, who? The Lord made it to prosper. So only thing that we've got to do is stay focused on the favor that God has, and God will give us the enablement to be a witness. Amen. Let's go to that next verse that they use there. And they use Exodus 11:3. Exodus 11:3, what are we talking about? People that God puts in your life on a regular basis to be in favor with them so that you can give them the gospel. Exodus 11 and verse number 3. Exodus 11, verse number 3. Who's got that one? Can read that? Exodus 11, 3. Kelly, you got that one? Exodus 11, 3. Amen. So the Lord gave people favor inside of the Egyptians and inside of Pharaoh's servants. As a result of that favor, what happened to the children of Israel? What did they leave with out of Egypt? All kind of goods and gold and stuff. Amen. By the way, they had to make what in the wilderness? A tabernacle. Guess where they got the stuff for the tabernacle, the gold and stuff? From Egypt. So God actually furnished them from the Egyptians who had them in bondage, so they did get paid for their labor. Amen. In essence, they did get paid. Amen. Probably not the kind of payment they wanted. Amen. But they did get paid. And notice Daniel 1:9. Let's look at that one. Amen. So favor. God brings us into favor with people so that we can be a witness to them. Amen. Daniel 1 and verse number 9. Notice this. Now, God had brought Daniel into what? Favor and tender love with who? The prince of the eunuchs. How did that favor help Daniel? How did that favor help Daniel? What was the king's decree? Anybody know what the king's decree was? That's true. That's later on down the line. But right now, what was the decree of the king? What were they supposed to eat? They were supposed to eat the king's food and drink the king's what? Wine. But Daniel said, no, 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 no. Why was he able to say no, 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 no? God brought him into favor. Favor. Hey, folks, give you a testimony here. At my job that I worked at, sometimes we had to work on Sundays. And sometimes on Wednesdays. And I would always say, hey, can you do me a favor? You know I'm a Christian. You know I go to church on Sunday. How about you take my shift and let me take your shift? You're working from 10 o'clock tonight till 10 o'clock in the morning. How about let me take that shift so that I can get off to go to church? And guess what would happen because of the favor? I was normally able to switch.
Yes, sir.
On Wednesday, sometimes they say, all right, we got to work late. We got to do this and that. I said, how about if you take my shift here, I'll take your shift there. Am I still working? Yes. Sometimes I would volunteer to work on a Saturday just so that I could be off on Sunday to take somebody else's shift so they could take my shift on Sunday. What am I saying? He was in favor here, and because of that favor, God blessed him. Amen. And notice this last one here. It's not in your book, but go over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this one is not in your books, amen. And Luke chapter 2, come down to verse number 50. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 50. Notice what it says here, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. This is when Jesus said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Notice verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in what? Favor with who? God and man. Because of that favor, Jesus was able to preach and teach and give the gospel. Why? Favor that he had with others. Amen. Let me give you these other two here, and we'll just talk about them a little bit next week. Amen. So favor. If God brings you into favor with someone, it is so that you can be a witness to that man, woman, boy, or girl, whether it's at your job, whether it's in your community, whether it's at the store. If there's favor there, God wants you to witness to them. Amen. B, he enables us with boldness. Boldness. And then C, he enables us with compassion. Compassion. So what are we talking about here? The power that you and I receive, he gives us favor to witness. Certain people are just going to be in a good relationship with us, and it's going to be an open door. Others, he enables us with boldness. And with that boldness, you'll be able to approach him. I remember when I first got saved, I told you guys about my colonel. And I knew I wanted to witness to him, but I was so scared. I'm like, man, this guy's the guy that writes my performance report. This is the guy that signs off to say what I can and can't do. What if I go in there and mess up and stick my foot in my mouth and say, you're going to hell unless you get saved? I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know how to put it. I didn't know what to say. But I knew I wanted to tell him.
Yeah.
He was the one that told me don't be a holy roller.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know what to say. I had another a senior master sergeant. She was one of the close to the highest ranking persons there. I'm like, what? How do I say this to her? She's in my chain of command. She's in my line. How do I say this? And I said, God, you just got to give me what to say.
Amen.
I'll never forget witnessing her. And she said, I'm too old to be saved.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I thought, I hadn't heard that one yet. I've only been saved for a couple weeks here. And I'm thinking, I said, well, I think Noah was saved. I think he's pretty old. And I gave her a couple other people. I think Methuselah was pretty old. I said, he was saved. I came up with the Bible people that I knew. I said, so, ma'am, I'm sure you're not too old to be saved. I said, he said, God so loved the world. Whosoever believeth, so doesn't say anything about how old you are, but so I think you can be saved too. I didn't know what to say. I just got saved myself. I'm too old to be saved. I'm thinking, okay. You know, then my boss said, don't be a holy roller, my colonel. I think, I said, well, sir, I'm not trying to be a holy roller. I just want to share Jesus Christ with you because I got saved, and I want you to know what happened to me in case somebody tells you Dawson's acting kind of strange out there. I said, because I am going around telling everybody. I said, and I'm sure the word's going to get back to you soon that Dawson's out there being a preacher. I said, I'm not trying to be a preacher. I wouldn't even think about being a preacher at that point. I just want you to know that I got saved, and that's why I'm telling everybody that I got saved. What I'm talking about, boldness. God will give you boldness. And by the way, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. Because you're not going to know everything. So it's not about how much you know. It's about who you know. And at that time, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew who I knew. And I knew who saved me. And I know his name was Jesus Christ. And I knew if he saved me, he'd save you. Now, I don't know a whole lot, but that's how much I do know. Amen. And he enables us with compassion. God can put people on your heart. I just got a text from Mark Lennart last week. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, God put Mrs. Dawson on my heart. Is everything okay with her? I said, well, she's facing some medical challenges right now. I said, I'm glad God placed her on your heart. I said, see, you and Michelle pray for her. Sometimes God will put people on your heart that he wants you to witness to. And he'll give you the compassion that you need to go and talk to them. I had an enemy one time that was against me. I wasn't so much against them. And God put it on my heart to go to them. I'm thinking, Lord, are you serious? You want me to go to them? Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
And I couldn't get away from it, Brother Scott. I thought maybe I just ate something bad tonight. Oh. Week went by, 2 weeks went by, and God kept saying, go, go, go. And I kept saying, Lord, I'm trying to go away from this. So, and he kept on. And one day, guess what? God brought me smack dab in front of him.
Oh, there you go, Pastor.
Guess what? I couldn't do anymore.
Couldn't run.
Couldn't run anymore. Couldn't get away.
Run.
God said, since you won't go to him, I'm going to bring him to you. And I thought, great. Now I got to do this.
Yes, sir.
So not only do I have to have the boldness, but now I got to have the compassion and I got to have the courage. Because I really am not looking forward to this.
Uh-oh.
But I did it. I did it because God said, I'm going to bring him back to you again if you don't get it right. Guess what?
Ooh.
Haven't seen him since that day.
Wow.
Haven't seen him since that day. Okay. Say, what happened to him? I have no idea. But what am I saying here? God enables us, the power you receive, A, enables us with favor. Then B, he enables us with boldness. And then C, he enables us with compassion. Amen. So let's take a verse here, 2 Timothy 1:7. We've had that before, but I think that'll help us again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe that'll be a good verse for us because I think we need to get past the part of the fear factor and recognize that God's given us the enablement to do what he has called us to do. Amen. So 2 Timothy 1:7 is going to be our memory verse. And God gives us the enablement. Don't forget, he's going to bring certain people into favor with you that you can witness to. But then other folks, he's going to give you boldness to go to them because they may be a little bit more difficult and challenging. And then certain people, he's going to have you to be compassionate. He's going to put on your heart to tell them in a special way because he's placed it. in your heart. Take your five tracts this week. Start giving those out. Amen. And be ready to next week to be challenged again about what you did with the tracts that you have. Amen. Let's go out. Let's give them out. Amen. Invite somebody out to the services. 2 Timothy 1:7 is our verse. Amen. Father, bless now and today as we go into the refreshment time. Lord, help us to be mindful of the tracts that we can give out, the tracts that we should give out, and the people we should tell about your saving grace in our lives. Some folks, it will be in conversation. Lord, other folks, it will take the courage of God to confront them. Lord, I do pray that as we do go, we will remember that we have the power. We are in favor with certain folks. Lord, you've given us boldness for some folks and compassion for others to do what you would call us to do. Help us not leave here, Lord, differently than we came in. A little bit more Christ-like, Lord, in our ability to tell others about Christ. And Lord, open up our mouths, even if it's just to give a track and invite someone to the church. Thank you so much, Lord, and love you for what you've given us. Bless now our refreshments next door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.